Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Us podcast, a podcast about us. Woo! Who is us exactly? Well, it's me, Angel Salinas. Thank you. And who else is with me?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris. Hang on, you're about to hear something really great. There we go.
That's Chris putting on his professional pop filter on.
It's my sock. Hey guys, I'm Chris, co-host of Angels on this Us podcast.
And I am co-host of,
He's the co-host of the most
Chris's podcast. And together, we are the Us podcast.
Because
and
it's all of us. It's all of us, bro.
And that is our intro. Boom!
I can't do it anymore. All right.
Damn, well. Chris. It is good to be back doing a podcast with you, bro.
Yeah, we just had some wings.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. We talked a little bit about just stuff.
It's been
what's going on.
It's been a while since we talked to all of you, and so we're gonna get right into our next topic of the podcast, which I feel like we're all still trying to get to know each other a little more.
Yeah,
we're still trying to warm up to each other. You might be thinking, I don't really know these guys. Angel seems kind of cool. Chris seems kind of cool. I don't know if I want to commit to these guys yet. I think you'll have a pretty good idea by the end of this episode.
For sure.
So, today we're going to talk about ambition. And what that means.
Yeah.
What does ambition mean to you, Chris?
It's funny. We were just talking about this before we did this show. I don't know, man. Like, ambition, that's a word I've heard all my life. And it's funny because for the longest time, like, I never knew the definition. I just thought ambition just meant, like, I don't know. I thought it meant dreams or something.
Ambition is dream.
Is it?
No.
It's just like your willingness to do something.
That's little Chris. Ambition is dream.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Ambition to me is just like you just like willing to do whatever and whatever necessary to achieve what you want. And I've always been called ambitious all my life, and sometimes like in praise and sometimes kind of like in mocking. I was like, oh wow, that's ambitious. Actually that was the first thing. Your friend Henry, he's the reason why I got to do you want to shout him out or something?
Shout out to Henry Mendoza.
Your friend Henry is the reason why I got into the film program that we did.
Inner City Filmmakers, shouts out to Inner City Filmmakers.
They don't need a shout out, but
they need it badly.
They do. Anyway, yeah. So I remember when I told him about like all the stuff like I had worked on before ICF. Like I'm like, I did this. Like I did. I told him I did this. There's a short movie I did called The Weavers. I told him about that. I'm like, it's a 30-minute war musical that I did. It has like two song parodies in it. I'm like, it's half an hour, and I did it for a final. And he's like, I remember the first thing he said to me was like, the first thing he ever said to me was like, wow, that's ambitious. And I was just like,
you must be really cool.
Yeah, so ambitious is like a word that like to me was always like a good thing. Like it's good to be ambitious. What does it mean to you?
For me, I can't remember when I first heard the word ambitious, but I feel like I've always considered myself ambitious only because of the people I've seen in my life. If you guys don't know, me and Chris are from Southeast LA, and we're recording this in the middle of Southeast LA.
That's right.
Specifically, I'm from the city of Bell, I went to Bell High School, and if you went to Bell High School, I think you know there's a lot of unambitious people that go to Bell High School, that graduate from Bell High School.
A lot of unambitious people in this area in general, which is what you and I were talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's why, just go on a little tangent, I think that's one of the main reasons we decided to start the Us podcast is to highlight those who do have ambition and those who are trying to be better.
Right.
So, back on topic. I think my whole life, I've kind of been surrounded by unambitious people. And I just, like, at a young age, I was like, I do not want to be that at all. I want to go do something. I don't want to just think about doing something. I don't want to just wish to do something. I want to go and do it. And so
yeah,
I feel like I fell into the ambition pool, pretty early.
It's, you know what, this is actually funny because my brother recently, he just graduated from high school. But he, it was like continuation school kind of.
Brandon, shout out to Brandon.
And so I bring that up because he wasn't like really graduating with this class. He was just graduating with like a bunch of kids that kind of like, you know, finished, like technically finished high school, right? So there was a couple of kids that went up to do speeches. And I know this is going to sound very arrogant. This is just going to add more to the Chris's arrogant fire. But when I was watching these speeches, you know, they were talking about how like, you know, like, oh man, like all my life, you know, like I had my mom, you know, raised me as a single, whatever. And she's like, and it's like, and it's building up and you're like, wow, like this girl like, really went through like a lot. And then she's like, and then, you know, thank, now that I have this diploma, now that I got accepted into whatever college, she's like, I'm going to be a pharmacist in this little like store in her hometown. And she's like, and I'm going to get this job like locally. And then like, it's like, and that's going to be like my life. And I just remember thinking like, oh my God, like that's it. Like you don't want to, like that's it. Like mm-hmm. with all the shit you've been through, you just want to stay here. And then like more people would like come. Like to me, it was so weird that everybody had like, and again, like I let me just finish the thought and then I will say why I know that that's not like a fair.
Oh, don't worry. My response is coming, Chris.
Well, no, and so then, you know, like I just hear these people and like their dreams to me, they're so kind of like not low, I don't want to say low, but they're very like low stakes, kind of like very just like minor. And I just thought like, man, like it's crazy that people like have no ambitions like to just be anything but just kind of like stuff that like to me is like pretty attainable. But then I remember a long time ago my brother Brandon, like he was telling me like, because we were talking about success and like my mom was like, I think I'm pretty successful. I'm like, you do? And then she's like, yeah, this was like a few years ago. And then Brandon's like, yeah, I mean like success is like, it's whatever make, it's like, it's, success is like defined by you. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't have to just be like, fame isn't like the pinnacle, like fame, fortune, like that isn't the pinnacle. Like for some people, success is like, you know, you see so many like people our age, like having fucking kids already. Like for them, that's success. Yeah. Like they made it, like they have a family and like that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's so, to me, just to me, just cause I've always been driven to just fucking be like huge, like. To me, it just, it, not that
really?
I used to make fun of that a lot, but now to me, like it almost is like a little like, it sort of brings you back to earth, like just how simple some people are. And that could be good, you know, because sometimes people just have like just honest, just like genuine aspirations, like I just want to have a family, I just want to like mm-hmm. like that, and that's sweet. But like what we're talking about is people that just like just don't want to aim to do anything.
Yeah. I think the, using your example, I think the girl that wants to be like a pharmacist or whatever, I don't think she's unambitious. I think her ambition is just different from yours or from all of us.
Right, yeah.
I think it's like, I think me and you want more from life in terms of, I think we want to be remembered.
Yeah,
I think that's
sure.
I think that's one of our biggest things.
Yeah.
There's a lot, I've realized that there's a lot of people that don't care about being remembered. There's a lot of people that just want to have a happy life. And
yeah.
It's funny, I think, I'm actually thinking about a question that a friend of mine told me a long time ago. He was like, would you rather be happy or would you rather be famous? Like, if you could only have... No. Not famous. Remembered. Would you rather be happy or would you want to be remembered? And in this scenario, you can only be one. You can't be like, well, I'll be happy if I'm remembered.
Right.
You have to be one. Like, would you rather be unhappy your whole life and then be remembered or not be remembered but be happy your whole life? Pretty much. And for me, the choice is obvious. I'd rather be remembered even if I'm unhappy my whole life. What about you?
It's funny. That's a great question. If you would have asked me this like years ago, not that long ago, but, like when I was making Bad Labor like in 2016, like I would have been like, dude, fucking remembered. Like, because to me, like, you know, the only people that I grew up admiring, like they all seemed tortured. Like Stanley Kubrick seemed like this tortured genius. Like Quentin, I think he's happy, but like, you know, you see Quentin, he just looks though like that he, like in his younger years, like he was like this tortured artist. And like, you just like, that's the romanticized like vision of an artist, like the tortured, like,
every time I see like Quentin Tarantino talk or speak or do anything, he just looks like there's so much going on in his brain.
Yeah.
He's having a hard time saying it.
Right.
Like there's so much trying to get through. That he's just like,
he's like, I can only do so much as a human, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all that to say, if you would have asked me before, like, and I, like, would you be happy to remember it? I'd be like, remembered, obviously. But to me, especially like in the way that my life's kind of been like running these last few, I'm like, you know, like to me, like, I'd rather to me now, like, I just think it's more important to put yourself before anything else. And it's weird because I was, you know, it's weird because my beliefs as a filmmaker, as a person, like, have not changed, but like, I've just switched like my legacy to just like me as a better person, just because like, to me, I feel like when I'm happy, I do things I'm proud of, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'd hate to be, because then the flip of it is like, I'll be remembered, right? And everybody, like, let's say remembered for making movies, but wouldn't it be tragic that I get remembered, but I fucking hate all my movies? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, then what was the point? What was the point of all that?
Or hated your movies, or hated making, like, the experience.
Right, right. And that's where I was going, dude. That's exactly where I was fucking going. Yeah. I hated making Bad Labor. It was the worst. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this what, like, my life's going to be like? Dude, and, like, the sucky thing is like, I used to just, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I used to envision myself being, like, a terrible father. Not loving, but just, like, absent because I just fucking love my work so much. Mm-hmm. You know, like... I imagine,
man, I'm gonna be a shitty dad,
right? Yeah. And like, I romanticize that because I'm like, but I'm gonna be a genius and everybody's gonna like, and I used to like, and that's the thing, I think that's such an old school mentality. Like, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. You don't have to be only because, and that's honestly only because things have gotten easier for us. Mm-hmm. It was like that back then because making a film was a fucking process, and it's true when they say, like, it is still a miracle these days that a movie can get made, but back then it was literally a fucking miracle. Everything had to be done with hands, with hands, with people. It was a fucking, like, it was a thing. It was a journey. It was something that everybody had to put their fingers in.
Here, I'll pause you real quick.
Sure. No. Go.
What's a movie that you saw or have seen or whatever that you can't believe, like, was made for, not for the money, but like, I can't believe they had to go out and do this. And I'll tell you what my answer is.
Okay.
It's fucking Lawrence of Arabia.
Wow.
I remember I saw that shit and I was like, they're in the fucking desert riding these fucking camels. Like, none of this shit is CGI.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't look into the history, but I feel like none of that shit is in a studio, you know? Right. Like, that shit is so grand scale. And you can't do that shit anymore.
No.
Everyone's gonna be like, well, I mean, you could fucking CGI the desert background. Yeah. You could just have them riding a fucking motorized camel in the studio. It's air conditioned, and there you go.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's funny that I had an answer immediately for this. I remember it's Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Dude,
as I watched that, I'm like, I watched it first as a fan, but then like the filmmaker in me is just like pulling my hair. I'm like, this looks like a fucking logistical nightmare. Like, how do you wake up for this? Like, oh, today we're shooting this scene. It's like, no, today we're shooting the third page of this fucking battle in this part of the castle. And then next week I got to do it on the fucking other side of the castle with all these fucking orcs. And
I feel like less Return of the King and more... The second one
because of the Minas Tirith stuff.
Yeah, the fucking battle at Helm's Deep.
Helm's Deep.
That shit is wild.
Yeah,
like, because I feel like the battle at Pelennor Fields, I think, has a lot of CGI. Like, you were talking specifically about like the castle shit.
Yeah, like, at the end of Lord of the Rings, like when like there's just then the Oliphants, it's just like, oh my god, like this looks awful. I'm like, this looks terrible. I'm like,
how do you fucking do that?
How do you wake up and like, this is what we're shooting? It's like, I have no idea, and it hurts my head even thinking about it. But
like,
yeah, that
like
one.
Imagine being like, all right, this is another movie. Imagine, all right, today we're gonna shoot Doctor Strange and Hulk and Thor. They're all gonna be here, and then they're gonna fucking fight a million of these fucking
and
then fucking Thor's gonna come jump down. It's just like, it's literally just playing with dolls.
Yeah, no, but I think we're definitely, and that's the thing. Like, just because things are easier doesn't mean that we have to be lazy. Like, I don't think being a happy person really means that like you're lazy. I mean, there are film, like the thing that I respect filmmakers, obviously, like Richard Linklater and like Robert Rodriguez. But to me, before, what used to bother me about them was that they this sounds really messed up. But what used to bother me is that they're family men. And I don't know, that used to annoy me because I'm like, that affects their work. That's why sometimes like all their work isn't all that great, because they have fucking forget your kids, work on these movies, like put more effort into them or whatever. And that was like my little twisted way. But you know, I don't think it's impossible to be great but also be happy. So I to answer the question finally, I'd rather be happy than be remembered.
And we come full circle. Chris would rather be happy than remembered.
Yes, sir.
And I think I answered, I'd rather be remembered than be happy.
Why though? Like, so So to me, like, do you not like prioritize like happiness, your own like well-being like that, or is it just like, or
you actually, just no, rather? I don't think so. I think, and I think that's been a major problem of mine for sure. Like all my life is like, I think my happiness takes a back seat, even though I sometimes am the most important person in my life. Yet I don't think about my happiness that way. Like, just because I spend a lot of time on me doesn't mean I'm spending time being happy, if that makes sense. I spend a lot of time creating things, getting stuff ready, just doing stuff. I'm not necessarily happy while doing it. But then, in some levels, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I'd rather be doing that than anything else, for sure.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe I don't even know what happiness is, you know? But
deep.
But there is... And this is something we had talked about before, like... Would you rather have the experience of making like a good experience making a movie and a bad end product, or have a really shitty experience making it and a good movie?
It's weird, dude. Like, if we would have done this a year ago, you and I would have been on this fucking same page. But I'm telling you, like, I've just been on this vibe of just like nah, man. Like, I have to be happy because like life is so precious. And like, yeah, dude, it's cool to fucking be remembered. It's cool to be Stanley Kubrick. But like, dude, like. Actually, I think Stanley Kubrick was a pretty happy person, but, like, I think there was a lot of times where, like, growing up, he, you know, he just, like, you could just tell that he was just, like, very bought, like, he really was a tortured genius, and, like, again, it's cool to romanticize that, but then you think, like, but, like, was it worth it? Mm-hmm. And you hear, like, oh, here's a perfect example, not a very timely, great example, but I was watching a Woody Allen interview once, and they asked him something, like, if you could redo your life... Oh, no, they said, like, what would you give up? What would you give up for what? Or something like that. He's like, ooh, I would give up directing to have been a musician. Because he plays clarinet.
Oh, he does.
And then she's like, really? He's like, yeah, I'd give up all the movies. Like, I would give up all the movies. Like, I would have loved to have become a jazz clarinetist or whatever. And to me, that was so, again, I was like, back then, I'm like, oh, how dare you? But like, it's like, I feel like at some point, your work, it's cool for it to have an effect on people, and it's cool for it to be remembered, but then you just think, like, but then what? Then what? You know, mm-hmm. Like, I still feel fucking empty, which is weird, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to have that kind of life.
You know what I hate is when I see interviews with filmmakers, and they're like, if you have any advice for young filmmakers, what would it be?
Oh my God.
Don't do it. If you can do anything else, don't do it. It's just so hard, and like, I hate doing it. Don't do it. If you can do anything else, don't do it. It's just like, dude, come on. What kind of fucking advice is that shit?
I heard that from Trey Parker and Matt Stone. I thought that was such a shitty thing for them to say.
Yeah,
I was like, look, guys, I'm like, just because you're white and successful doesn't mean you have to fucking shit on everybody else.
Oh my God, it's so hard.
And they said like, it's because like it's so competitive. And it's like, and you probably won't even make it or something. I was like, dude, like so? What a shitty thing to say.
Yeah, it's like fucking. I'm here asking you to encourage me, not
like I understand what they mean, but like I think it's wrong to like. I think it's something that they. I don't think anybody should tell you that you're not cut out for something. I think you should find it. Mm-hmm. Like, whether or not you're cut out. Because for someone to tell you, and like, here's the thing, like, we were talking about this actually one time when we went to breakfast, where like, we're talking about like motivation or whatever. And like, we were saying, like, you were saying something like, if somebody saw something like La La Land, you know, that, what if that discourages someone from being like, well, I could never make something like that because there was no brown people in that. I'm like, then if someone's like that easily, able to be discouraged, and maybe they don't belong in movies because, you know, like that's not the kind of skin you need or whatever. And like, we had a whole spiel about this.
And then I responded with I think I responded with like one of my favorite Kevin Smith quotes, where he was like, I'm just gonna like do a shortened version of it, yeah, but he says something along the lines of like, if you discourage someone, you get nothing from them. Like, you get no ideas, but even if you give the slightest encouragement, that might turn into your favorite movie, mm-hmm. or the album or the mm-hmm. song that saves your life, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it costs nothing to encourage somebody.
While I don't believe necessarily in like pushing people to do stuff, I think that, you know, I think everybody deserves a little nudge, but I don't think you have to like hold their hand through mm-hmm. it. Like that's kind of the point I was trying to make with your whole La La Land argument. But
I think I might have I think I also brought up the fact of like, look at all these fucking superheroes. All these superheroes were made like between like 1930 something and 1960 something. It's like, and all of them are fucking white people. So it's like, imagine being a kid growing up looking at all these white, like a brown kid growing up looking at all these white superheroes. You don't think subconsciously that's going to like affect them being like, oh, the white people are the heroes. And I'm not, because I never see myself in any of them.
Well, it never affected me because I always thought I was white. I didn't know.
Really?
I didn't know I was Hispanic till I was in like seventh grade. Because my mom's like, "Yeah, you're Hispanic." I'm like, "No, I'm not. You guys are Hispanic." Like,
I am white. White Chris.
I was like, "I'm white. Like, I'm a white." I honestly thought I was white, and that's so that's probably why I never like, you're like, I was, I'm never Spider-Man. Discouraged. That's why, like, I am Spider-Man. I'm light skinned. I'm a white. But no, like, so yeah, like, my point is that I don't think you necessarily have to, like, I don't think it's necessary to encourage people, but you shouldn't discourage them either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think people, if you want something bad enough, you're going to find the encouragement. Like, you don't need to, like, I don't need to tell a particular kid from, like, our area, like, hey, man, you should go, like, I don't have to push that kid. Like, he should, if he really wants it, he should find it within himself to fucking...
But sometimes you need that push, like...
Oh, no, for sure.
Like a certain someone coming to your school and...
Oh, yeah.
And encouraging you to do filmmaking.
Yeah, but, like, again, like, encouraging, but, like, you don't need to, like... I don't think it's completely necessary to just be, like...
Yeah, it's one thing to be, like, hey, there's this thing, like, there's this program that you can join.
Right.
As opposed to, here, let me help you fill out the application.
Right,
let me help you mail it.
Exactly. Like, some work's got to be done on your part.
Exactly.
That's why it's like, that's my point with, like, your superhero argument. It's like, yeah, a kid could get bummed out that there aren't brown. It's like, we could just be like, oh, I'll just make my own. Or I'll do my own little independent comic and sell them at class and school, you know, and, like, have a good time
and
with it.
And that did,
like,
happen.
Did that happen?
Yeah, there's, I mean, all these, like, people of color.
Oh, you're talking just like the independent comic scene in
general.
It's
just like,
okay,
there's reasons why there's like Black Panther, Black Lightning. It's like they had to like come out of this super white shit.
Yeah.
And also I think that's why I think some filmmakers today, when they adapt superhero movies, they make it a point to be like, fuck that. I'm going to make Johnny Storm black just because fuck it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, being white has nothing to do with
his character.
Yeah. So it's like, fuck it. Let's do it.
That's dope.
What did you say? You said something right now that I wanted to elaborate on, but I fucking forgot. But oh well.
That's cool. Yeah, no. But yeah, man, ambition, what do you... Okay, well, we were talking kind of about how you'd rather be remembered. Like, what do you want people to remember? What contribution do you think Angel Salinas is going to have when everything's said and done?
I hope my films, for sure.
Hmm.
Like, that's the one thing. If not I don't even know what I want to do in the long... Like, all I know is that I want to make movies, but I know that's not the only thing I want to do.
Hmm.
I just don't know what the other things are, but I just know that there's too much that I want to do to just stick to fucking movies, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, I 100% agree.
Like, TV is dope. I think digital series are dope. I think comic books are dope. All this shit. Like,
love it.
There's just so much content out there. I want to make a fucking anime one day.
That's awesome.
A quick Angel tip. Angel loves anime. Boom.
Yeah, Angel does love anime.
That shit is dope. I watch that
anime.
Shit every fucking day. Really? You hate it?
I can't stand anime. To me, it's just so... I don't know. It's just such... It's such a virgin thing.
Wow.
Only because people growing up around me, like, they were like... Did you see Ghost in the Shell?
Of course. Not everyone is like that, Chris.
I know. I'm sorry, Angel.
Did you see the new Dragon Ball Z episode?
Did you see Cowboy Bebop? I just pre-ordered the special package.
Yeah. Those are both two excellent fucking series. What's your point?
I know. I'm sure they are. I do actually want to check those out.
Like, what is your fucking point? Why are you making fun of them?
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell is dope. Cowboy Bebop's dope.
Mm.
Samurai Champloo's dope. Death Note's dope.
I think for me... What I want to be remembered for is just, I think, just me as a person. Like, before, you see my movies, it just used to be like these, like, empty entities of, like, you know, I want my movies to be. But I think, and this could sound very selfish, but I'll tell you why it's not. Because to me, it's like, I didn't come from, like, a slum, you know? I didn't come from, you know... But I didn't have to...
You didn't start from the bottom.
Right. Well, I mean, I did, but I didn't start from, like, the fucking bottom of the shoe, you know? Like,
you were on the sidewalk, not the gutter.
Exactly. And to me, like, dude, like, with everything that's been happening just in my life lately, like, I didn't tell you this, or I think you might have seen on Instagram, but La Leaf, the festival that Bad Labor got accepted into, they invited me to come for this photo shoot for LA Weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you this?
I saw it. So let me do a recreation of oh my God. Chris's Instagram story. He was like, hey, your boy just came back. hold on. Don't laugh. Hey, your boy just came back from a photo shoot. I'm going to be on the cover of LA Weekly. And the story ended.
No, and then I said, ow, my head hurts because I had a headache. Yeah, that's why I was talking like that, not because I'm some douchebag. Mm-hmm. But I deleted it right away because I'm like, I don't want... even though I like how I look in the story, I don't want to post this just yet.
I don't know why everyone thinks I'm so conceited.
I'll never know. But see, like, the thing is like, for me to be able to do shit like that, dude, and like, I had... Dude, like, we were on the same level of, like, connections. It's like, I didn't, mm-hmm. like, none of us, like, who in Bell knows somebody in the film industry?
Exactly.
The lucky break I had, not the lucky break, but the fortunate break I had was, you know, going to ICF, but even, Inner City Filmmakers. But even then, like, who did they really, you know? You know, like,
exactly.
It was really just by me wanting to do something so bad that I was, you know, fortunate enough, you know, with the work to make it happen. And it's inspired action, you know, to fucking make a movie. It's like, who fucking thinks of that, you know, at my age? And that's why, like, I'm really grateful that now, like, my goal as a person has sort of shifted from just to my work. I'm like, dude, it... That's our timer.
I said a silent timer.
I'm sorry. It goes beyond just being, you know... You made me fucking lose my train of thought. No. I got this. I can bring it all back. Fuck, I lost it again.
What do you want to be remembered for?
I just want to be remembered for being just a fucking guy that, like, that everybody knew, that everybody, you know, remembers growing up, that I didn't have really, like, this X factor, this, you know, this quote-unquote X factor. Like no one in my documentary of my life is going to say, like, ooh, like... He always had, like, he was always that guy. And if they do, they're fucking lying. Cause nobody ever, like, you know, I never had that, like, stark, like, nobody ever said about me, like, whenever he walked in a room, he just had that presence. It's like, no, like, I was just a dude. And then I became another dude, me. And it's like, dude, it's just like, anybody can do that. It's just, there's just a couple of things that need to be, that work into play, like your upbringing, like the people, like, you're just like the stuff that you're inspired by. And you can be me. That's why I think it's like...
You hear that, everybody?
Oh, my God! No, I'm just saying, like, you can be like me, like, just, like, mentally. Like, you know, but you... I know people are going to be better than me in the future, and that's obviously something I can't wait to see fucking play up. But I'm just saying, like, for me to be able to do this stuff, it's just crazy. And, like, that's why, like, I really do just want to be remembered for, like, what I was able to sort of show people. Like, hey, like, you know, I didn't have, like, my dad wasn't related to anybody. Like, I wasn't friends with some famous
guy. You're just a normal dude that fucking had ambition.
Right.
And went and go and fucking do that shit.
Way to tie it in, Angel. Love it.
And that shit, that's the whole fucking reason we did this shit. Before we jump onto our next topic, it's funny that I've actually talked to a couple people that, like, you work with and stuff. And
oh, God.
They actually have, like, similar... outlooks on you, which is different from what I know about you, because, like, I know you in a more, personal, more intimate level, but they see,
we've
I guess,
love.
They yeah, yeah, they see you as more professional, quote unquote professional, Chris.
Yeah, look at that.
They're like, oh, you know, Chris, he's got a very strong personality. He's a very, very like go getter. He just, like, goes and he does whatever he wants. He doesn't hold back. He blah blah blah, and I'm just like, I mean, I guess, yeah, that is Chris. but it's just funny that I've heard that from, like, multiple people, and I'm like, oh, this is, like, the Chris that's gonna, like you said, the documentary Chris, the one that's like, you know, when Chris came in a room, you know, he just he had an idea and he just stuck with it. He was relentless, you know. Yeah. I know more Chris, like, on another level. I'm like, well, yeah, but he's also, like, this. And
isn't that kind of beautiful? Is that, like, I've always thought that was really cool that, like, we'll move on to our next topic, but just because we're still talking about this. One thing I love is that, like, let's say, okay, you walk up to somebody we both admire, Donald Glover, right? Mm-hmm. Genius.
Shout out Donald Glover.
Brilliant, innovative, creative. But I bet if you were to walk up to one of his homies, like, dude, like, what do you think about Donald Glover? Like, that dude's a fucking idiot. You know, like, I love that.
They'll have a completely different opinion on him because they know him, like, on a more down-to-earth, intimate
exactly,
level.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, dude, sometimes I fucking follow Lakeith Stanfield on Instagram. And sometimes he'll just be kicking it, like, in the living room. And Donald Glover's not even in the video. He's just, like, in the background, and I could hear him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how weird is that to just, like...
Like, he's the background of somebody else's life.
Yes, exactly. And it's just
to
like...
To you, he's like fucking the goal.
He's the fucking king.
Exactly.
And, like, for some other people, it's like, it's just Donald, you know? He's just the homie.
Yeah.
And that's what some people
are. That's the thing. That's why a big part of, like, what I want to do is to, like, I want to shatter the image of, like, the single genius. Because that doesn't exist. Stanley mm-hmm. Kubrick couldn't have fucking done 2001 without a team. He's a smart guy, but being smart can only get you so far. Mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg can't do it by himself. Tarantino can't do it. Nobody can do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking group effort. And so...
Exactly.
I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast. I told you this before, for sure. One thing that I love that these directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who directed the 21 Jump Street movies, for the end of 22 Jump Street, after all the credits, they ended it with a film by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and then, like, there's another title card that says and then the credits rolled.
And then boom.
I love that. I thought that was so genius.
Yeah, we've talked about how, like, it feels weird taking credit for, like, an entire movie. It's like, directed by Chris Carmona, directed by Angel Salinas. When it's like, if I really sat down and talked to you, I'd be like, some of those shots, I didn't even fucking make them up. it's like, some of those shots, this dude is like, hey, we can, what if we shoot it this way? I'm like, hey, yeah, that's pretty good.
So when you're directing, what's your approach? Like, what is the first thing that, like, what do you take into consideration? Is it acting? Is it shots? What is it?
Let's talk about, like, scripts first. How do you write, like, let me talk about, because I feel like, obviously, there's three very different aspects of film production. And I remember someone asking me, like, what's your favorite part of film production? And I'm just like, I fucking like all three for different reasons.
Yeah.
In the script, I think that's where I collaborate the most, because it's like, I'll write some shit and then I'll send it to someone and be like, what do you think? I'm like, oh, I think this, this, and that. I'm like, yeah. And I have no problems, like, changing it, like, dramatically changing. I'm like, fuck it. Like, that's a way better idea.
Dude, that's beautiful, because there's so many people that aren't like that. They're still trying to be that, like, single writer. It's like, no, it has to be to the word.
And if you don't, and if you don't like it, you don't get it.
Exactly. Nah, dude, it's like, it's a breathing document. Everything. Yeah. It's like, it's a breathing process.
For me, the hardest part of the script is sitting down and starting it. Like, just being, because I'll be like, fuck, I gotta write this fucking script. I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. But once I sit down and I start, it's the fucking easiest thing ever. Like, I just breeze through it, and it's like, boom, boom, boom. For sure, 100%, like, the most important part of any script for me is, like, the dialogue.
Yeah.
I think I spend the most time on dialogue than anything else. And I think I spend the least time on action. And that is bad sometimes.
Yeah.
What about you? What are some things you noticed about your script writing process, or just pre-production in general?
Whenever I'm writing, I'm very... It's not that I don't care about the action, but if it doesn't need to be any more, like, detailed... Because, like, the thing is like, you know, I know people like Quinn, they treat, like, their scripts like novels. So, like, he'll have, like, super descriptive, like, it's going to look like this and this. But for me, like, I'm just... I think I shared this with you, but one of the first... When I would read, like, the first scripts I wanted to read were, like, Quentin's scripts, where I'm like, fuck, like, these are very descriptive and detailed. So whenever I'd write scripts, like, they'd be, like, six lines of description before, you know...
He walks very sweaty into a,
It's one of those Denny's that you see. It's kind of beat up, and, you know, it's like, you know, like, where you're, like... It's like you're talking to somebody, but funny enough... I was like, fuck, like, this is hard. Like, scripts are fucking hard. But then it was fun. I have the script actually here. I bought the This Is 40 script by Judd Apatow. And literally, the first page of the script, this is literally what it says. I don't know the character's name, but let's just say it's like, Alan and Joy are in the shower having fantastic sex. and then dialogue. I'm like, that's it?
That's all you
I'm
need.
Like, Universal, like, Brothers, like, yep, that got it. Like, paint a picture. And I'm
that's
like,
all I need.
I was like, wow. I'm like, okay, so you could, it can be simple. So whenever, if you ever read any of my scripts, it's like, the most I'll do for descriptions is like 3 lines, and then I'll skip a line and then like another 3 lines, like just 3 lines of description, because I'm like, they don't need to be that long. Like, it's a blueprint. The movie, the shooting, the editing, that's where you really got to get meticulous. But I think for the writing, I'm a little more loose in how I like approach action. But with dialogue, it's funny. Before, I used to say that I don't really give a shit about dialogue, and I kind of don't. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be to the word sometimes. But when we were doing Instant Crush, I kind of found my... Because I told that to the actor. Like, I said, guys, you can just kind of say it however you want, as long as you get the idea. But there was a couple times where I was like, actually, can you say it how I wrote it? Only because...
This one is way funnier.
No, only because, like, I realized that the way I write things, I wrote them, like... Because I noticed I put very careful detail into the way I write it. Not because what I'm writing is so profound, but just because, like, the way I write the dialogue, especially for, like, these characters in particular... These are how my friends talk. They say, like, instead of saying, like, hey, this looks good, don't you? Or let's go grab some ice cream. What do you think? Like, I said, like, hey, let's go get some ice cream, yeah? Like yeah. You know, like, stuff like that where,
let's
like,
go, yeah.
Let's go, I'm yeah. Like, hey, bro, you down? Like, okay, yeah. Like, shit like that. Like, hey, stop tripping. Like, or don't trip, bro. Like, or, like, shit like that. Like, mm-hmm. I make sure I'm, like, because I'm, like, I not only want you to see people that look like my friends in my projects, but I want you to see that they fucking talk like them. So like when you see like
that bell
like,
slang.
Yeah, exactly. Like the bell slang, like the fucking hey foo, or like one of my favorite things is like my brother,
rocker,
my brother, him and his friends, they do this thing that I love and I'm gonna incorporate into a movie where like one of the things they do is they go, what the, or like, sag, bro, sag. And like,
no
and I
way.
Love that. They go, what the, like, they all say that. And I love that. It's just so,
Brandon,
it's
so, you're so special. Embarrassing.
He is. It's just so special. And so that's, to me, like, now I just realize that, like, I only like my dialogue just because, like, I know I'm emulating my friends.
Yeah, I want to write people out that talk like, damn, fool, what's up,
exactly.
Homie? Hey, bro, you trying to smoke or one? Like,
yeah,
I want to fucking write people like that instead of like
this fool.
Damn, this fool. The crew. Like that.
Dude, like, cause I've never heard that. That'd be awesome to see that. Cause like my friend talks like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I want to see people that talk like me instead of like, fucking, hello, sir. Do you want to smoke some marijuana?
Yes, I do, buddy. All right, so production. Let's talk about
well,
it.
Well, hold on. I have to, another thing. I don't remember. Yeah. Well. I focus a lot on dialogue because
when you production?
No.
Or
well,
we're still talking about scripts?
Because you said something like, "Oh, I don't think anything I write is any profound or whatever." I think stuff I like some dialogue that I write, I'm like, "This is fucking dope." And someone and someone needs to hear this shit. That's like one of the only things that
interesting.
That I think I take pride in for sure.
I never wanted to be that writer. I used to, but then I'm like, because the thing is, whenever I try to write something funny, whenever I try to be funny, whenever I try to be profound, it just comes out whack. So like, I'm just gonna write it for right. And people are like, dude, that's a really nice line. I'm like, oh, thanks. I just kind of just wrote it. But
the thing that I care about the least is the blocking or the locations. I think that can be super interchangeable. And give me a second. I'm gonna burp.
No, but
I'm just kidding. That was all a fake right, burp.
There we go.
I think for me, like, fuck, I burped and I lost my train of thought. Now I remember. That's why I think I don't do storyboards because I don't have like a location. I have an idea of a location in mind, but I don't have the real location in mind. And I always felt like a bad filmmaker for not doing storyboards for a long time. And then I fucking saw the movie Moonlight and Barry Jenkins is like, I never storyboard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's all I had to fucking hear. So whenever someone's like, you got to do storyboards. I'm like, Barry Jenkins doesn't do storyboards. So fuck you. And then their response is going to be like,
Barry Jenkins been doing commercials for 10 years, bro. And he's
I think he knows what he's doing. You're no Barry Jenkins. Yeah, I'm not no Barry Jenkins.
Oh my God, dude.
I'm me.
I'm gonna tell you a little story. This that exact sentiment reminds me of when I was in ICF. That was me on my cockiest, by the way.
Yep.
When I was, we had to pitch our shorts to the class really quick. I'll just say we had to pitch our shorts, and I didn't want to give away my ending because my ending was like not a twist, but it was like a little fun surprise. And so I pitched the story, and I'm like, and then you know you don't know what happens, and then they go, oh, so what happens? I'm like, oh no, I don't want to tell you guys the end because I want to save it for the premiere, and like. well, Chris, we have to know the ending, you know, so that way we can, you know, like, let you know if, like, it, you know, you should run with that idea or not. I'm like, no, I don't want to tell you the ending. And, like, for half an hour, everybody tried to get the ending out of me.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
No. And, like, but it was fun because, like, it was fun at first because everyone was just, like, because then people were like, hey, I respect that. I'm not going to tell you guys my ending now. And, like, it was, like, it became this big debate where it was, like, yeah, I don't want to tell you the ending because, like, my ending's really special or whatever. And then I remember, I said, Chris, like, why are you so persistent on, and I wasn't trying to be a jerk, it's just like, guys, I just don't want to ruin the surprise, like, and then, like, I could tell you, but, like, I just want you to, like, I'm like, again, I'm like, guys, we're blowing up this ending to be more than it is. I'm like, it's a small essay, it's not a big, like, you're gonna shit your pants when you find out what it is. I'm like, but I just want to preserve it, that's it. And then they were like, Chris, like, just fucking tell us the ending. I'm like, what about J.J. Abrams? Like, J.J. Abrams keep things secret, nobody gives him problems. And then from the back of their mind, I hear this girl, Kelsey. You're no J.J. Abrams.
Shout out,
and I turn around and I'm like, I know I'm not J.J. Abrams. I said, I'm just saying he does that and it's fun. I'm like, it's just fun. And then, like, they just came out. I'm like, fine. It's not the... So Barney's not dying. The fucking doctor read the wrong file. I'm like, there, that's the ending. You happy? Like... And then I swear to God, someone was like, oh, that's good. And that's I was like, fuck. And, like, you sons of bitches. Like, you didn't let me preserve that.
You're like, damn, that would have been a good twist.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I would have never seen that coming.
You know what you should have done? You should have fucking lied.
No, they needed to see because the script. It was in the script and, like, yeah. But
you could have been like, you could have just pitched it and anyway, have a fake fucking ending.
Anyway, yeah, no. But that's funny. Like, that you use Barry Jenkins as, like, your guide to, like, not doing
stuff. Shout out, Kelsey. But yes, I did use Barry Jenkins. I'm like, because I fucking love Moonlight, and, like, I love a lot of the composition and a lot of the shots in that fucking movie. And to think that none of that shit was storyboarded, beautiful. It's like, fuck it, yeah. I'm gonna do that shit too.
It is kind of amazing how, like, none of that was storyboarded. That's incredible.
And so, like, I have, like, a vague idea. Like, I, like, this last short that I did, I knew pretty much. My last short is called, I believe it's gonna be called Plans. It went through a lot of different name changes because I hopefully stick to this, but I want to stick to this thing where, like, most if not all the things I create are named after albums that I really like.
Interesting.
And so my last short that hopefully is going to be my first feature, it's called American Weekend. It's based on an album called American Weekend by this band called Waxahachie. Shout out to them. And then Plans is my favorite Death Cab for Cutie album.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I hope to name... And then this other short that I think I told you about it, the one about post-high school life, Oregon and here. I think I've told you about it. But anyway,
yes, you did.
There's a short that I want to do. It's called You Should Be Here, and that's a Kehlani album.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So hopefully I stick to this. If not, I'm going to look back and be really disappointed in myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick to it because... I really like music, and that's my way of incorporating music and my film stuff.
That's dope, man.
Thank you.
So you don't storyboard.
I don't storyboard.
When you talk to act, like, okay, so let me paint you a scenario, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My dog, no, she's right here. I don't want to say that. my grandpa died. I don't have a grandpa. My grandpa died. My grandpa died, and I'm here at his wake, and I say something to him that I didn't get to say to him. How would you direct me? It's very, like,
what would I tell you? Like,
how would you direct me? Like, what do you, like, how would you get
how
me?
How would I do this scene?
So I come up to you and I'd be like, dude, like, I don't know. Like, I know it's an emotional scene, but, like, I don't know how to deliver it. Like, should I cry? Like, I feel like crying is, like, overdone. What if, like, okay, what? Let's just act it out.
I'll take your question and change it a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to say, how would I do a scene like that with a character that their grandpa died and he didn't get to say the last things he wanted to, right?
Okay, yeah.
How would I direct this? I feel like I would have this moment. Because, okay, two different ways, depending, I don't know which I like more. I feel like it would just be a really long static shot of one of the characters looking at the coffin, like at the open casket, I'm guessing, is like a viewing.
Yeah.
But not really saying anything.
Yeah.
And just kind of saying what he had to say
in his
mind. Okay. Like he's saying, because he doesn't, obviously, no one's going to be like, I miss you so much. I mean, some people are like that, but I feel like I would do is like just say what you have to say,
that's cool,
but don't say it.
Yeah.
Or another one, because I feel like this is what I would do. I'm very bad at funerals, and so I spend a lot of time outside the funeral home. Mm. So I feel like in that kind of scene, it would just be like outside the funeral home. Something to do with outside the funeral home. That's cool. For sure. Let me give you a scenario.
All right, for sure, I'm ready. He's thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Okay, I got one. So, how would you direct this scene? It's a girl's first day in college, and she's late for her class, and she's about to open the door to the class that she's in that's already started, and the professor is going to have like a conversation with her about being late. How would this scenario go?
You're asking me how I would shoot it? Like
what would you do with the scene? Like if I just set you up with this girl is running late to class and she's about to go into the classroom that she's late to and she has to have a conversation with the professor, what would you do with that? How would you do the scene?
That's funny, as you said that, okay, so I think what I would do with this scene she's running late, right? And it's like we're with her, it's like fuck, like this is really embarrassing. She gets to class and like she gets in and then the professor looks like, look who decided to join us. And then she's like, I know, I'm sorry, I'm late. And then he's like, well, let's have a chat. And then she's like, okay. And assuming like after the class. And so she's like walking to, she's like, no, right now in front of the class. And she's just like, fuck. And so then she goes and they do the entire scene as if like nobody was there. And it's like, so Kara, tell me why you're late. And she's like, well, I work. And then he's like, oh, this is the excuse you gave me last week. And and then she just looks at the class. She's like, you're not supposed to tell people that. And it's just like this, like, and like nothing's really like, he's not being mean, but he's just putting her on the spot. And then like the joke then after is that like, she's like fucking the first one in class every day after. Like she never
late. Wants to feel embarrassed like that.
Yeah, anymore. I don't know. I just think it's so funny when you just put people in uncomfortable positions. But that's the thing. It's like, some could just make it just like purely awkward and like not enjoyable, like wow, like this is embarrassing, but like just like the thought of like having to have this like this fucking interrogation from your teacher in front of the class and they're just like being quiet, like you could tell they're just ready to burst, but they're just like looking, they're like loving every second of just like watching them.
That is so awesome. let's flip it. How would you do the scene you gave me, and then I'll tell you how I would do that scene.
To the scene of the grandpa,
the funeral scene. How would you do something like that?
Well, see, the thing is that the reason why I brought up a grandpa is because I've never had one. So
this picture a very close family.
I think I could use that is what I'm saying. Oh, I bring that up is because I feel like I can use that to my advantage.
The detachment,
yeah. So I think probably what I would do is just like, I definitely, because the thing is I love scenes where people just kind of like, you just like, you feel them and what they say. So I think probably what I would do is instead of have him have like a one-on-one, it's, let's say it's like a kid and he's like, his grandpa died and like he's always been afraid to just like talk about it like in public, so he goes up, it's like this like teenager or whatever, and he goes up to the podium when everyone's trying to eat or like hang out, and he's like, hey guys, I just want to say something. And then like everyone's looking at him, he's like, fuck, he's like, I gotta say something. And then says like, and he's like, he just says something like to the effect of like, you know, I know I didn't spend a lot of time with grandpa, but seeing him dead and seeing how like that affects my mom, and it's like, and then he starts crying, like as soon as he says mom, like that's when he starts, and he's just like I don't know, he's like, I just think that, you know, he's like, you just gotta enjoy, he's like, look at everybody, he's like, you know, like you're sad and shit right now, he's like, but the thing is you're all looking at each other, he's like, we're all fucking breathing. He's like, you're looking at me right now, he's like, and just because one guy's dead, it's like, yes, that's sad and I understand and I hurt with you, but this is like the reason why I think funerals fucking exist in the first place is so that we can remind ourselves like, hey, like these are the people in our lives that are still alive. So let's fucking cherish that. And I think that's it. Like, they'd be like, all right, I'm done. And then he just, like, goes. And
boo.
Then, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then someone's like, that was stupid or whatever. But, like, you know, like, just something where, like, I guess I would find, like, for me would be, like, you find your way into the... Because to me, like, when you bring up mom... as I was talking, my throat got in a knot, you know? So, like...
You're like, don't bring a mom.
You feel like you... I find my way in and then, you know, just make it just more about... It's just... Because the thing is... Cool. The thing I also... The reason why I brought up the point of, like, in his speech of, like, oh, look at everybody around you, because that's the thing. I've noticed my whole career is about noticing what other people don't really notice. Mm. Like, bad labor. It's like... When I looked at these day laborers, I'm like, dude, these people are fucking brave. Like, you never know whose car you're gonna get into. There's a movie, and then you know, like, yeah. So like things like that, I noticed that like a lot of my movie ideas spur from just like these thoughts that I have, just like noticing things. I'm like, who's gonna pick this shit up movie? You know, like, or who's gonna like wait, what if this happened, but they were actually dressed like this? Boom, that's a movie. It's like, and it's mm-hmm. what if these people thought they were on an adventure to save this girl, but she wasn't in any danger. And so, like, you think this movie's like, oh, it's these kids going after this girl, and there's no danger. But then she is in danger, but these guys are still on their way, so their mission is, like, not in vain anymore. Like, they're really going to save her. Like, that's what they thought the entire time, you know? Mm-hmm. I think of things like that, where it's just, like, things that you don't really notice. And so that's probably where I take it. So okay. You.
Me.
How would you handle a girl going late to class?
The girl going late to class, hold on, let's pause. Because I gotta go to the bathroom.
Angel just finished taking a whiz.
I did. All
right.
But this is all getting cut out, because we're going to jump from, to me going, I feel like I would direct your scenario.
You are so fake. I love it.
Bro, okay. You gotta. Okay. Movie magic.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like the way I would direct your scenario is very similar to how you said it, except my biggest change would be have it outside the classroom as opposed to inside. Mm. I think I would do a more menacing, like, professor character.
Whiplash?
Yeah, something more like that. Because I had a professor like that.
His name
was, his name was Dr. Frederick. And if you called him...
Shout out to Doc.
Shout out to, I think his name's John. John Frederick. That food's dope.
Dr. Frederick. Frederick.
He gets so pissed anytime someone would call him Mr. Frederick. Because he'd be like, I didn't fucking get a PhD to be called Mr. Frederick.
Wow.
My name's Dr. Frederick.
Wow.
And this dude was the most menacing fucking professor I've ever had.
Insane.
He had no... Like,
what school?
No SMC. And he went to like fucking... Santa Cruz, I think. Anyway,
oh, okay.
He would do this shit where, like, someone would, like, he'd, like, ask a question and someone would answer. He's like, no, that's not it. Someone else? Like, he wouldn't, like, you know how some teachers are like, okay, let's see. Yeah, I could kind of see.
Yeah.
He's just like, no, that's wrong. Anyone else? And anytime someone answered with one word, like, it's like, so what does this mean? Someone's like, ambition? He'd be like, can you put that in a sentence, please? I don't take one word responses. Wow. Shit like that, dude. He would just shut people down. And he was really intense. And I loved him. And he was so intense, I had to...
That's not where I saw that going.
He was so intense, I had to drop the class. But I fucking loved him, dude. Like, I was like, dude, I respect you so much, but you're just too much for me right now. Like, at this point in my life,
oh,
like, you're too much.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So, I like... Like, I just imagine putting this girl in front of Dr. Frederick.
Oh, fuck.
And what the fuck he would say. Oh, so that's boy. What I would do.
That's
he'd probably be like...
That sounds tense.
He'd be like, well, my class starts at 8:15, not 8:20, so good luck, take my class next year or some shit. Wow. I feel like that's the kind of response he would do, and so I would love to put a character in that situation.
That's dope. I love
but
that.
I feel like I would make her be more like, please understand my situation. Like, and then he'll be like, okay, fucking fine, whatever. Get inside.
I've had this conversation, but I've asked this to a director before, because one time when I was at a Q&A, I remember I asked this director who directed like this movie, it's like a whatever movie, it was fine, but I remember I said, so what do you want the world to remember you by? It's kind of something, guys, same thing I asked you, but I said, like, what do you want your legacy to be? Like what do you want your stamp on the filmmaking world to be? And then he kind of stopped me, he's like, I don't think about any of that stuff. He's like, I'm not really the auteur legacy guy. He's like, I just want to direct stuff and, like, you know, that's it. Like, that's all it is for me. Do you consider yourself, like, do you want, like, Angel Salinas to be the name that's, like, people talk about, like, in film school? Or are you fine with just kind of being, like, oh, yeah, like a director that everybody knows, but not that people, like, are fucking, like, falling all over themselves for?
If I can imitate, not like...
Replicate.
If I can replicate someone's career, it'd be Kevin Smith's. Only for the fact that he's at a place right now where he just makes films for himself.
Yeah.
And is completely okay with them objectively being shitty.
Right.
If he likes them.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck, I hope to get there one day, because I know I'm not there right now.
Yeah.
I still want to make something everyone loves.
So did he, dude. Way back in, you could tell, like, in his earlier movies, like, he really wanted to make, like, Quentin level shit, mm-hmm. like auteur shit. But I think he realized that, like, he wasn't really built for that, because you could tell in his dialogue too, like, he really put thought into it. It almost sounded like unnatural to me, but, like, I love, and you could just tell that he was so repressed in, like, his own happiness. But I think at the point where he started wearing the jerseys, that's mm-hmm. when you felt the shift in his personality.
He was just like, this is me.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be anything but
me. He was
me.
In trench coat, black shirt, jorts, mm-hmm. Kevin Smith anymore. That just seemed unhappy with everything.
He became, you know? hockey jersey Kevin Smith.
And happy Kevin Smith, which is the Kevin Smith that I think everybody, like, came to love. So that's interesting. That's cool. I mean, yeah, like, you brought up, you know, like now he doesn't really care if, like, they're bad. And, you know, to some people that'd be like, well, that sucks that you don't even... But no, I went to go see Yoga Hosers at his at this place where, like, he used to host, like, his Smodcast show. It was, like, this little theater in Hollywood. I went and I was really jazzed about it because I love Tusk. Mm-hmm. I actually think Tusk is really brilliant.
Tusk is dope, too.
I know everybody shits on it.
Unpopular opinion. Tusk is dope.
I think it's brilliantly done. Like, it perfectly... Like, people talk about American Werewolf in London, like, blending horror and comedy well. I thought it was a great horror movie. I didn't find anything funny in that movie.
Dude, I thought some shit was super disturbing in Tusk.
Yes, dude. Like, me and my brother went to go see it, and, like, we were, like... We didn't know what we were walking into, so it was disturbing for us equally. But the point is like, when I went to Yoga Hosers, I was thinking, oh, Tusk 2. And it wasn't Tusk 2. I should have listened when he said that, no, it's a teen girl movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what it was, but just very, like, to me, kind of like, it was kind of bad. But
it was.
There is that bit at the end when his daughters are playing the song over the credits. And, you know, they're having fun and they're playing. And then I'm like, oh, this is cute. But then... He lets it linger when the song's over, and then you just hear, like he lets the take play out, like, he doesn't cut it. Like, mm-hmm. they stop, and then the girls, like, break character, and they're like, ah, ha, 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 and then Kevin starts laughing. He's like, ha, like, you hear the whole crew laughing, ah, like, that's a cut. Oh, and then because Johnny Depp comes in, too, like, to, like, mm-hmm. play guitar, and then, you know, you hear Kevin Smith laughing in the background. He's like, ah, that's cut, that was beautiful, moving on, love it. And I'm like, that's what this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
It's him making a movie. It's him and Johnny making a movie with their daughter. Like, that's why this is beautiful. It doesn't even need to be, like, the story. I don't care, like, that there was, like, a lot of shitty parts in it. Like, this is what it was, and I love that just for that.
Like, how cool must that experience be to make a movie, to direct your daughter, and then have fucking Johnny Depp next to you while you direct his daughter, too?
Yeah.
That is super cool. I kind of thought of it that way, but you put it into really good words. I was like, yeah, you're fucking right. That movie must be so special to him.
Yeah.
And I hear him talk shit about it all the time.
Yeah, that's, like, the only thing that annoys me about him, that he, like, really, like, especially when he bags on Tusk, I'm like, fuck you, that's the reason why I got into you son of a bitch. I love Tusk.
And he'll just be like, you know, I could have had a career, but then I made a Yoga Hosers, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're not wrong. Like, that movie.
No, I'm not. He's not wrong with Yoga Hosers. When he's like, yeah, but then I made that fucking Warrus movie. I'm like, hey, that fucking Warrus movie was amazing.
That
fuck
shit
you.
Was the best thing you've made in years.
Yeah, that's true.
Where's fucking Jay and Silent Bob's reboot?
I'm sure it's coming.
I hope so. Dude, you know, cool. On the topic of Kevin Smith, I once saw him do stand-up with Jason Mewes. And at that stand-up was when he unveiled, he's like, I started writing Clerks 3 today, and I fucking freaked out.
Wow.
And then, like, nothing ever came from it.
No, because he doesn't have rights to that.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, now that Weinstein's in jail, he might, might be up for grabs, so.
Let's hope.
We'll see.
Clerks 3 still hasn't been made.
That's true.
As of now. Anyway, I think one more thing about, like, us as filmmakers is, like, post-production. How do we handle editing? I used to really not be confident in my editing skills at all. I would be like, fuck, someone else could be doing a way better job than me, because I barely know how to fucking
cut with?
Premiere.
Okay.
Shout out Adobe Premiere.
Same.
And so I was just like, fuck, I don't know any of these hotkeys. I'm fucking doing everything all slow. Like, I know what cuts good together, but I just felt so technically inadequate. But I have a lot more confidence now that I've done it for a longer. So I feel confident in cutting my shit. But I definitely do like having people, like, being the cleaners.
Let me ask you something. Do you want to do the Kevin... Now that we're talking about... Since we were on talk about the Kevin Smith, do you want to do the Kevin Smith route and cut all of your own movies? Or do you eventually want to move on to an editor? And I'll tell you why I'm asking you this.
I think if I have the time, I would cut my own movies. But, like, currently, the last short I did, my homie Damien is cutting it. Hmm. And I'm completely fine with it.
Okay.
And I'm like... I ask him, but the thing is, I also ask him about it every day. I'm like, what do you think of this scene?
How's it going?
Yeah, it's like...
What's your work?
So it's like, did you get to this scene yet? And I'm like, are you LOLing all the time? It's like,
is this scene funny to you? Yeah. Do you like this scene?
I'm not even there. It's all through text message. And I'm like, are you LMFAO?
I know, but like in his ear, like as he reads, he's just like,
yeah, it's like,
what do you think about this
scene?
What do you
think of this scene?
Oh, this scene.
ASMR.
This scene is my favorite scene.
Ooh, that's gross. Arlene's gonna like that.
Yeah, I'll be like, this scene's funny, huh? Like, I like this take. That's how I feel like.
Okay, that's cool.
So I think I have a pretty good, I think I could detach myself from the script, from the movie once I do it.
That's dope.
What about you?
Editing, you see my favorite part.
I said a silent
fucking alarm. iPhones don't have silent alarms, okay? I'm sorry, I tried doing it.
I'll fucking do that shit.
All right, you do it with your Android.
So what's up? What about editing?
Editing used to be my favorite part of the process because, like I said before, I used to just detest production. Not because I didn't like getting my shots, but just because like it was just so stressful. But like, especially after this last experience of doing Instant Crush, where I just had so much fun, like... Editing has now become my least favorite. I still love doing it,
really?
But I prefer enjoying making the moments happen in real life rather than trying to manipulate the bad experience in the editing room. To me, that just felt like such a lonely experience, like a lonely endeavor. And so I prefer shooting now compared to editing. I used to love it because I'm like, no one can bother me. Like, no one can, like, give me attitude. Like, here, like, I can just manipulate these images to how I want it because I know there's moments I can borrow here and there and I could just bend it to my will. But lately, it's been flipped. I'm editing for Instant Crush right now. And the reason why I asked you if you would be the type of guy that would want to edit your own movies is because for the longest time, I used to say that, like, I want to edit for my movies. But now... And I say that with confidence. Like, yeah, it's got to be me to edit for my movies. But now, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. Only because... And I might end up still doing it, but just because, like, I really, like, man, like, this is, like, a lot of just, like... I feel like I'm so close to this that I shouldn't be, like... Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and why it's probably one of those things, like, I'm going to have to, like, live with is just that, like, this is going to sound arrogant, but I feel like I'm the only guy... who can cut my movies the way I want them to be cut. And I'll tell you why. Because we had brought an assistant editor to come and like organize and like sync all my footage. So I had a guy doing that and like while I was kind of like just like doing syncing of my own. Syncing basically is just like where you get like the video and the audio recording and like put it together so that way, you know, it all, so there's sound. So we were doing that. And then he did this thing. He's like, hey, do you want me to pull selects for you? I'm like, what is that? And then he's like, yeah, like, do you want me to go over the scenes and then just kind of pick out my favorite bits so that way it's easier for you. So that way you can just look at, like, when you instead of watching the whole take and wasting your time, you can just look at what I picked and be like, oh, I like that, and then just put it into the edit. And it sounded good. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, fine. So now that I'm cutting, I look at his selects, and he picked a lot of lame moments, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, no. I'm like, in this take, she did something funny. And so I stretched the clip out. I'm like, here it is. He didn't put this in here. I'm like, what the...
Come on, assistant editor.
I'm like, come on, AE. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is funny. It's like, and I guess because, like, the thing is, it's like, I find perfection. I'll show you the clip I'm actually talking about. I find perfection in, like, faults. So really quick, there's a take where this girl, Cindy, she's talking to this guy, Andy. And she's like, oh, I live over there. And she does this, she turns her head, like, to the left, but her hair gets caught in her mouth. And I guess when he saw that, he's like, oh, no, that's a bad take.
Worthless take.
And so he removes it. But the thing is, she kept working with it, and it works for the scene. It's so beautifully done. sudden, it's funny because she goes like this. She's like, "Oh, I live right over there," and like over here, and she's like doing, and then she like she has like a handful. So she's like, "No," and then she's like, "What about you?" And it's so funny because it's just like, it's like a little thing that the universe did to her, and she worked with it, and she, and it just, and I laughed out. I was dying, and then I'm like, well, I was like, why the fuck didn't he put this in here? So I'm like, so I realized, like, even though editing is exhausting, like, especially now that you're working with bigger files and like bigger, like, you know, like stuff, I'm like, I still think like it has to be me. Like that's where it feels like it's gonna feel more like a burden. Like, I'm the only one that understands my sense of humor. I am the only one that knows when to like cut to a joke or whatever.
I feel that.
At least in my own way. So that's why, like, I feel like even though I was open to the idea of like having an editor, especially when I had the AE come on. Like, this guy seems like he knows what he's doing. But after that, like, after he, and I still have to keep looking. I keep stretching.
You don't trust him anymore.
I don't trust him anymore. I'm like, I don't trust your judgment, bro. Like, I'm just gonna I'm just gonna look at the full clip and then find what I want. And dude, then, cause
I feel that.
Yeah.
Like, when I was both when I was shooting and when I was editing American Weekend, like specifically when I was shooting. There was this long, long party scene that took way too long, and that was a big mistake, but I'll talk about that another day. Mm. But it always ended with her, like, leaving her dad, and she'd always, like, she awkwardly, like, leaving left the party. Leaving her dad? She awkwardly left the party. Like, okay, there's that scene where she's at the party, and then she's leaving. And the take I used in the final cut was she accidentally, like, bumped into a table.
Mm.
And, like, any other thing, like, oh, that's a cut, let's start over.
Yeah.
It so worked, and I was like, fuck yes. And it's like sometimes you don't even know that the scene needed something like that until it happens.
You don't know that the scene needed that. Like a little human moment that you, that's not scripted. Like, people, like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like when people like see that, they'll be like, Chris, that was such a funny idea. It's like, dude, like, that was not scripted.
Yeah, she worked with that. And it goes back to what we were talking about. Like, how can we take credit for stuff like that?
Exactly.
It's like, I didn't do that. Like, the world did that.
Like, exactly. Like, there's that scene that I think this is one of my favorite moments that I found out recently was like improvised in The Dark Knight. For those who have seen it, it's when Joker, I'm sure you've heard this, Joker's walking out of the hospital, and the shot was supposed to be, as he's walking out, the camera's following him from in front, and like the hospital was supposed to blow up from behind him. It's gonna be this epic shot. He's walking out in his dress, and he's like, you know, and nothing's happening. And so Heath Ledger, like, as the Joker, he turns around, he like lifts his arms, like,
he's like, what the hell?
No, he's like, what the hell? And so he's like looking at the fucking thing, he's like at the detonator, and he's like, and he like gets scared, and he just like runs inside the bus, and that was perfect.
That was such a character moment.
And then like the thing is like, you can't tell Christopher Nolan like, that was such a smart idea, bro. Mm-hmm. That he's like, oh, I didn't do that. He's like, that's not my idea. Like,
well, I kept it in.
it was kind of my idea. Probably, yeah.
Shit like that. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
It's those little
moments, man, that make just like movies just special.
I do sometimes feel like I'm the only one that could cut my stuff, but at the same time, I want to be like, I want to see what someone else would do. I want to see what someone. Yeah, I know you don't. That's another big difference between us.
That's my ego.
That, I don't know if it's your ego. It's just you care a lot about. Not that I don't care, but it's
no,
like,
no. I
We have different ways of, we have different goals when we make movies. I think I'm way more of a collaborator, where I'm just like, you fucking do your thing, and I want to see what you do. I want to see what you do with my shit. Yeah,
I love doing that only on production and in writing. I think when it comes to editing, because I'm like, this is like the final like say, and you know, I have to have the final say. So it's like, I'd rather take care of that. Like, I'm more than willing to collaborate on production. Like, and if someone's like, hey, I don't feel this line, let's do this one instead. All right, sure. Let's see how it works. Let's do it.
If I don't see something I like, I am not afraid to say it. But for the most part, I'm just like, let's see what you can do.
I think that's another thing, too. I'd be too afraid to tell an editor, like, can you not do that? Like,
Like, I will straight up be like, here, no, let me do this. Like, that's when I will step in and just be like.
That's something I don't have courage to do.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's like, I want to see what you can do, but if you're not doing it the way I want, I'm going to tell you. Shit like that. So I'm super open. But if it's not going the way I want, I will speak up. I think me and you are pretty different, but pretty similar. Like always, I think that's going to be the themes.
It's yeah.
Like, you can be super different, but you could also be super, super similar.
Isn't that interesting, though, that we're both from the same city, but like, you know, both same cities. I would even just like say kind of like almost same like status.
I think so.
Like status, like though, like as like you know, middle class, middle class family. Would you say you're middle class? I would say I'm middle class.
No, I don't think so. I would consider myself lower middle class. Yeah, okay. For sure.
Well, yeah, all right. But like,
we're still in the same.
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, we come from the fucking same city.
Exactly.
You know? So.
It's cool. It's cool that we're different, and it's cool that we're the same, and it's cool that we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, it is.
That's that. We're going to take a little break right here, and we'll be back with you soon.
The Us Podcast, because it's all about us, guys. It's you, me, him, her, she, they, whatever pronouns you like. It's all of us.
A podcast about us.
All about us.
My name's Angel Salinas, just in case you forgot. Here with me is
Chris Carmona.
We don't have a air horn
or a soundboard
yet, but incoming one day.
Here we go.
So,
all right, Angel. So now that we've kind of brushed past all our main topics, you know, ambition, directing styles, let's talk about recommendations. What you've been listening to? Yeah. What you've been watching? Talk to me.
This section is going to be a lot more relaxed, a lot more chill. We're just going to be catching up.
Oh, I've been chill the entire time, man.
That's true. Chris has slowly been unbuttoning his shirt throughout the podcast.
Oh yeah, the whole thing's coming off.
Yeah. Soon we're going to record these just so you can see what's really going on.
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
But yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is an album that I listened to this week by an artist by the name of Leaky Lee.
Leaky Lee.
Yeah, and she released an album recently called So Sad, So Sexy.
Hmm.
And that shit is fucking amazing. I don't even know what kind of genre to classify it, but for me, Leaky Lee has always been an artist that captures sadness so beautifully. That's like the best way I can fucking describe her music.
Is it like R&B or is it just like like if you had to really, like if you had to Kiss FM generalize it?
I had to Kiss FM generalize it. Damn, it'd be like a really weird, really trippy R&B.
Okay.
For sure.
Like,
she just makes music that's like, fuck, this is so sad, but also it's just like so vulnerable, and it's also just, but it's also really fun to listen to.
Right, so I'm saying, so is she one of those people that juxtaposes, like, sad lyrics with, like, fun beats and shit?
Yeah, kind of. She has a song that's like, sadness is a blessing. It's fucking dope.
Cool.
I'll show you some songs, but yeah. Super recommendation, Leaky Lee, just as an artist, more specifically, an album called So Sad, So Sexy. Check it out. It's nice. Fucking dope. Shout out Leaky Lee.
Leaky Lee.
Do you listen to whole albums?
I do. Yeah.
That's cool.
I think right now I'm really into Kids See Ghosts. I mean, with the rest of the fucking country.
Oh, you mean Kids See Ghosts by Kids See Ghosts?
Yeah, exactly. Kids See Ghosts by Kids See Ghosts. Yeah, the Kanye Kid Cudi album. I never cared for Kid Cudi. I always thought his name just sounded like an embarrassing 2007 MySpace name.
Mm.
So I never cared about him. But when I heard this, I'm like, dude, this shit.
What's up, young Kid Cudi?
Yeah,
here.
It just sounds like one of those like lame promoter names from like Electrotistic days. Remember that shit?
Electrotistic? Don't know what the hell that is.
You do.
You know, once I went to this hip hop show and there was, I guess, like the
shout out to Electrotistic. I know people remember this shit. What's up?
In the, like, the guy that was like the hype man of the show, his name was Clang, and he would just go clang clang.
Clang clang.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, that's I feel like I've heard that before.
He would just be like, can I get a clang clang? And it's like, if everyone's having a good time, can I get a clang clang? And that is the fucking greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, so I do recommend the Kids See Ghosts album, but everybody's doing that. So I will do you one different. John Mayer. Exactly. I know. I never thought I'd ever say this. Yeah, John Mayer. John Mayer has a fucking song right now called New Light, and it's dope. It's
that guy really, on the Chappelle show?
Yeah, dude. Like, I never thought I'd ever shout out John Mayer, but this album, like, this song, New Light, it's just, like, it's really... It's Brandon, my brother Brandon, like, described it best. It's like a lost record from Random Access Memories, Daft Punk's album. Mm. It sounds like they could have worked with him on that. It's just like it's like this smooth, like, and it's like got this cool synth. And then his vocals really cool.
Is that the
cool
one with the music video where he's like in front of a green
screen?
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah, I've yeah. Seen that video. It's a great song, and I know I would never recommend John Mayer in my fucking life, but that song is dope. You should give it a listen. It's called New Light. John Mayer.
Every rose has its thorn.
That's not John Mayer.
No,
that's not John Mayer.
What?
Maybe he covered it, but that's not John Mayer. Every rose has its no. That's Poison, I think, bro. I'm gonna look that shit up right now.
No, I think it's Guns N' Roses.
No,
every rose has its thorn. That's Chris Carmona covering every rose.
It's Poison. I knew it. It's Poison,
really?
Bro. Yeah.
Nah.
Miley Cyrus covered it. Maybe that's what you're thinking
John
about.
John Mayer
no.
straight up made that song. John Mayer.
Well, that's all I have to recommend for music this week.
Every rose.
It's fucking Poison. Stop looking it up. It's
John
Poison
Mayer.
Angel.
Did you know at John Mayer played Every Rose as its Thorn?
That's what I'm saying.
On the Chappelle Show. Okay, that's why I know.
Okay, yeah.
He played on the Chappelle
okay,
Show.
See, I'm not saying he didn't probably cover it, but not his song.
He literally played just that opening verse, and that's it. You know what? Anytime I think about Every Rose Has Its Thorn, I think of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I've never seen those movies.
No, Bill and Ted is fucking fantastic. That's another recommendation. Go watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is pretty good too. But the reason I think about that is there's a scene where Bill and Ted go to heaven. Mm. And they talk to God. And God asks them, like, what is the meaning of life? And then they go, every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. And then they just say, like,
the lyrics.
They say the lyrics of that song. And then they're allowed into heaven.
Wow.
That's the meaning of life.
That's hilarious.
Spoilers.
Well, that's all I have to give. I mean, I saw a scary movie called Hereditary.
Yep, I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know if I'd recommend it, though, I don't want to talk about it.
Chris is traumatized.
I am.
Did you enjoy watching it?
What I loved about that movie, of all things, it's because I don't like the ending. It's like, it's one of these movies. But I did love that in the theater, I felt this throughout. Like, I felt this just, like, this tension and, like, this feeling of dread. Like, if someone was, like, gonna fucking kill me any second. It was really, I felt so paranoid.
Dude,
and it was so weird. I usually hate that, but, what's whack is just only because it was night. Like, if I was watching it, like, in the evening, I would have just, like, let myself experience that. But just because it was, like, fucking midnight and I know I was gonna have to walk back to my car alone in the dark, I just kept saying, like, this is a set. He's an actor. They're still alive. She's just a little girl from theater. You know,
fuck
like,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And like, this is a set. This guy fucking went to AFI. I've been to AFI. You know, like, and I had to
You had to break the illusion.
I had to break the illusion.
Because you were too scared of
the illusion. Yeah, because I'm a little pussy. Yeah, no. But I'm like, this is whack. But I'm like, but no, I need to walk back to my car.
I fucking hate scary movies. And I talked to someone recently and they love horror movies.
I like them when they're good, but I just don't like watching them at night.
I remember when I fucking saw Alien in the theaters. Fuck, man, I was so scared. I was so scared of that movie. Like, there's this fucking scene, spoilers for Alien, but there's a scene where a guy is fucking crawling through an air vent, and that is literally like my biggest fucking fear. It's like
closed
spaces. Space. And it's one of the reasons is because of the Simpsons episode where Homer gets stuck in one of the fucking water slide tubes.
Yeah.
Homer gets stuck in one of those tubes.
Dude, I thought about that. I'm scared of that shit too.
And then they have to like fucking lift him, like airlift him, his part of the tube out. That shit fucking scared me as a kid.
Wow.
And so this character in Alien is fucking crawling through these air vents with one of those flares. And his fucking crew is like talking to him through a radio, and they have this like little device, and they're tracking the alien, and the fucking alien little dot is like
moving
beep,
fast,
beep, beep. Yeah, and it's just like it's like beep 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 beep, and I'm just like, oh fuck, and then it's like and you see it on the fucking monitor, like the fucking alien is like coming right at him, and this dude fucking turns around, and it's not fucking there, and you're like, what the fuck,
and then
they're like, oh. Fucking turns around the fucking flare and it's right fucking there. And it is the scariest shit in my life. that movie is fucking amazing. But goddamn, that scene alone gave me like fucking heart palpitations. I was like, this scene has to end.
And
I was like, just kill him. Just kill him already.
Get it over with.
Yeah, I love slash hate that. I like that a movie can get a reaction from
me. Yeah, that's the only thing I respected from this movie, to be honest.
That it's like, you're making me feel things, but at the same time, it's like, I don't like feeling these things.
I'm just like, the only thing that bothered me about the movie is just like what it eventually, like, you realize it's about. I'm like, I don't know why, like, these types of movies, and when you watch it, I'll tell you, but like these types of movies, like, they bother me. Just like when they're about this specific topic, only because I come from a very, I guess this kind of gives it away, but from a very religious background.
Oh.
So I get really annoyed when, like, I don't know why it bothers me. Like, whenever somebody makes fun of God, like, whenever, like, sometimes I'll be enjoying, like, watching a stand-up, and then Bill Burr will be like, hey, you know what? Fuck God! And I'm like, I skip that. I'm just like, I don't want to hear this.
Dude, like, John Mulaney has a joke just like that.
I'm sure he does.
He's like, he talks about how when he'll hear, like, Bill Maher be like, what kind of an idiot believes in, like, a man in the sky? And John Mulaney's like, my mommy, so you be quiet. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is for me. My mommy.
It's like, you shut up. My mom believes in it. And then, like, it feels like such a personal
attack. It does. That's why, like, I'm skipping this. Like, I don't need to hear this shit, because I'm not, I don't consider myself Christian anymore, but I do, like, have strong faith, and I hate when that comes up. Like, me and my brother, like, we talk about that all the time. Like, whenever someone's like, yo, God's such an idiot, and I'm just like, oh, God, like, let's talk about something else. Please stop. So, yeah.
What's a really good horror movie that you've seen?
It sounds whack, because I know it's not some fucking French art film, but...
But, Insidious 2...
Dude, no, Insidious 1. Insidious 1. I'll tell you... I think we can close on this. I'll tell you why that movie fucking terrified
me. Let's do it.
When I was a kid, I had a dream that I was in my room. And in my room, on the left side of me, on the left side of my bed, I had, like, this, like... I had a window, and... Outside of that window, our house used to have, like, this alleyway. So it was, like, a driveway slash alleyway that went to, like, two houses in the back. It was, like, kind of like one of those, like, properties with, like, one house, another house in the back, and another house behind that. So there was, like, an alleyway. So you bunch of, like, fucking, like, cholos used to, like, walk through there and make noise and stuff. So, like, it would always freak me out, that window. So I had a dream that I woke up, and I saw, like, through my blinds, kind of, like, they were, like, moving. And I could hear, like, a lady's footsteps, like, walking outside, like, in heels. And so it terrified me. And then I look at sort of like where my feet are at. And then from the end, so like from like the farther end of the window, a head peeks through the blinds like this. Like just looking straight. Like it's just like leaning in through the window, like looking straight. And then like it looks right over to me. Ooh. And I woke up and I was crying. I was terrified. Right. Okay. So that was a dream I had, and it always terrified me. And so then when I watched Insidious, you know, there's that like opening shot where like the, you know, the camera's just kind of flowing through the house. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to a door with a window, and I see this lady, and I'm frozen in my seat. I'm like, oh my God, that's the fucking lady I saw in my dreams, like when I was a kid.
What are you doing here?
Like, what are you doing here? And so then, you know how the movie opens, like, and I was like, I fucking hate this movie. And so throughout the end, like, that's why those movies terrify me, because I've seen that lady in my dreams, like, when I was a kid. So that fucking was terrifying.
Shaking my head. Real quick, shout out to one of the worst horror movies ever made, The Visit. That shit sucks.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Not as a horror movie, though. I enjoyed it just like as like a fun... I just enjoyed it as like a fun, dumb ride. Terrible movie. I loved it.
That movie came out the same year as Fantastic Four. And I was like, there's no movie that could ever be worse than Fantastic Four. Guess what?
Where does this Visit hate come from?
The Visit was fucking whack. I'm so glad. Shout out to YMS for making a fucking 40-minute video.
Is that what you're talking about?
Just reminded me of all the shit I fucking hated about it. I saw it, and I was so angry while watching it. I was like, this fucking movie sucks. This rapping is fucking shit. And then I went on Facebook, and I was like, this movie fucking sucks. What's wrong with everybody? And then it was like, it's a dark comedy. It was real funny. It was real scary. It's like, wow, fuck this movie. Fuck you for liking it. Fuck you, Chris, for liking it.
I really liked it. I have the Blu-ray.
Wow. And on that note, I think we're going to... Welcome to the last episode.
Yeah, well, this is going to be the end of the podcast and our friendship.
Welcome to the last episode of the Us Podcast.
It was nice having you guys.
This was super fun. We're going to bring this episode to a close. You have been listening to the Us Podcast, a podcast about us.
You, with me, him, her,
everybody. Everybody. My name's Angel Salinas.
My name's Chris Carmona.
And we are out. Bye. Hey everyone, that was another episode of the Us Podcast. Make sure you catch us on our social medias. I am at Los Angel I Salinas on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Chris Carmona.
Make sure you follow us on social media.
No!
It's okay. Make sure you follow the podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. Write us a review. Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
All right. Bye.
That sounded pretty good.